Welcome back to the show. I told you we are having an amazing episode on this show because something really extraordinary is happening in the Supreme Court. And so joining me today is Loy Brunson. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I'm from Arizona, from Maricopa County. We are one of the epicenters of election, whatever you want to say, fill in the blank, fraud or maladministration, whatever you want to say about our election. So when I heard about this court case that you and your brothers have been working on, I was like thrilled. But before we get into your court case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court docket, I want to ask you, like, you're from Utah. What made you want to even get involved in this to begin with?
Well, my brothers and I are the Brunson brothers. We're trumpet players, and we've always felt a real strong feeling towards the constitutional. We were raised that way growing up in Utah. And so we've just always been very much in favor of freedom and liberty and individual rights and the Constitution. Our father would teach us, you know, about that growing up. So
there you go. The reason why I was curious is because, like, I would have thought someone from one of the states like Arizona or Georgia or Nevada or Michigan would have done this. What I find fascinating is someone who's outside of those states that wanted to get involved because they realized the election was stolen. And I just thought that was incredible. And what I've learned is they're going after every state. So right now, Arizona's in the news, Georgia's in the news, Michigan, you name it, is in the news. But don't think any state is safe. And so that's what I also wanted to point out in the episode with you today is you live in Utah, and don't think for a second that Utah is free from this because they're going after everybody.
Well, we used to live in Arizona, so maybe that's part of it.
Oh, I love that. I just think it's so cool. So I want to get into your story. So I want you to tell the story. But and as we get into it, I just think that God's hand has been upon this whole thing with you. So tell us about your court case. How did
That's what we felt. And it actually, the story is a long one. I'll try to condense it as much as I can. There were actually three federal cases. And one of them started in state court and the other one was in state court. So we sued two federal courts because they blocked me from even filing my case. They allowed me to file it, and then they started serving it. The U.S. Marshals started serving Nancy Pelosi and others in Washington, D.C., and they were doing that because we couldn't hire process servers. And so then they called it back and canceled it, so we sued the court. We took the federal court of Utah to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals and didn't win there. So we took both courts to state court and sued them in state court after we did that. And that was finished for a few weeks. Even though we lost, they granted what we asked and they unblocked my case. Not only did they allow me to file, they actually filed my complaint for me. And then they also ordered the clerk to issue the 388 summonses. Now, that case is still alive in federal court. That's still alive. It has not been dismissed. So my brother... case that we were filing against the same defendants. We thought two is better than one. One of them is going to reach the Supreme Court first. And that was what we decided at the beginning. My brother, Darren, who's the legal guy behind this, had already represented himself in state court, federal court, and also had two Supreme Court petitions docketed with the U.S. Supreme Court. So he was well-versed and schooled, self-schooled, I guess you could say, and knowing how to do this. And so the lawsuits are based on the fact that there was not a 10-day investigation, that there was a huge national security breach. And so we all saw that the 10-day option to investigate the evidence, the mountain of evidence, and 100 witnesses, beginning with Ted Cruz, offering that investigation and suggesting it, it felt like they were sort of pleading with the other members of Congress to investigate this mountain of evidence. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they refused to do that really bothered us. And so with my brother Darren spearheading this and bringing the idea to us to launch a lawsuit, then two lawsuits, and then three, we went ahead and brought claims against the 388 defendants that were involved in and rejected the investigation. So we knew we didn't have much of a chance winning in the lower courts, and that's why we decided and we were prepared to go all the way to the Supreme Court. We were going to see which one would make it there first, and Rollins made it there first. So that's where we're at now.
Is that your brother, Rollins?
And my brother, Rollins, yeah.
Okay, so started his case is all the way to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, yes, yeah. We learned from mine. Mine that's still alive. I'm the plaintiff on that one, and Rollins is the plaintiff on the second one. They're identical. If you go to 7discoveries.com, for a $1 donation download, you can actually see all the defendants, and you can see that they're both identical complaints. Mine says Fourth Amended Complaint, which really means that we got all the bugs out and by amending it, four times. And Rollins is an exact copy of that, so he didn't have to amend it. So his with different judges, same federal court, but different judges, his made it to the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals. And maybe you've heard the story, we got stuck there. They wouldn't make a decision, and we thought we were dead in the water. So we just worked really hard trying to figure out what to do about that. And we found, my brother Darren found Rule 11 of the Supreme Court, that if you can convince the court that your case is an emergency, a national emergency case, then they will let you bypass the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals. You really cannot take a case to the Supreme Court until you satisfy all the lower courts, that you've gone to them and gotten decisions from all of them. And the Tenth Circuit Court was just sitting on this, not making a decision. So he found this Rule 11, and we got it all together, and he did all the paperwork and pleadings. We'd get together on the phone and go over every single word and make changes and make improvements and so on and so forth. And so finally, we got that all prepared, and we sent it to the Supreme Court, hoping that they would accept it as a national emergency.
Well, to me, it is a national emergency because I've interviewed Patrick Byrne. Patrick Byrne went to President Trump and said, hey, there was foreign interference in the election, and he was able to prove it. So to me, this is a national security issue. Plus, if you can manipulate an election and put the wrong people in office that didn't win legitimately, that is a national security, because look at who Biden's tied to. He's tied to China. I mean, that is a security issue in my book.
Well, and a big one at that. And that's how we felt too and feel. It's a huge national security breach. And so we were hoping that they would look at it in that light. And 5 days after we sent it off to them, the clerk's office called us. Now, people need to understand that the clerk of the Supreme Court is not a justice clerk. It's not someone who is interning or anything like that. This is Scott Sessions Harris, who for 11 years was the Supreme Court's attorney.
Wow.
The attorney for the Supreme Court.
So he
knows what he's doing. Yeah. He does research and he counsels and he gives advice to the justices, right? And so his office, a case analyst from his office called us and told us that they had decided to accept our case under Rule 11. Well, that's basically them classifying it as an emergency case, right?
Yes.
And they also asked us to insert some additional documents in it. And they also kind of put some pressure on us to get it to them as soon as possible. So that was amazing. So we went ahead and had to reform. Because they asked us to put additional documents in it, we had to reformat it and send it back to them again. So we were working on that. And just as we about had that ready to go, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals must have got word about this because they made a decision. And so we had notified that they decided on the case. So we call the clerk's office. Roland calls the clerk's office. Says, can we just send it the way it is? Because all this work and it's that doesn't change the fact that it's an emergency or not. And they said no. They wanted it removed. And then they again asked him to reminded him that they wanted that extra material in there, which was really the U.S. Attorney's motion to dismiss, when we also include the opposition to their motion. And then they again said, how soon could we get it? And my brother said, a couple of weeks. And the case analyst says, can we get it sooner than that? We'd really like to have it sooner than that. Can you do it sooner? And he said, we'll see what we can do. And so we went through the process. You have a question?
Well, yeah, I wanted to know, what was the decision that the lower court made?
Oh, they upheld the dismissal.
Okay, so they want to dismiss the case.
They dismissed the case, right.
And then was that now an appeal? Did you appeal it?
Yeah, it was an appeal.
Did you keep it with the Rule 11?
Yeah, right. And that, see, we knew that we didn't have much of a chance winning in the lower court. So we thought we'll lose in the lower courts. Mm-hmm. And so we were just anxious that they would make a quick decision. So we hope we might win, but it was okay that we lose because our end goal was the U.S. Supreme Court for them to make the final decision. So them making a decision at all was great. Either way, it's like, just make one quickly so we can move this forward. So go ahead and decide, judge, to dismiss it so we can move it to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and then please dismiss it quickly then so we can go right straight to the Supreme Court. And that's when, you know, bottleneck. They didn't do that. But then they finally did it after we had done this emergency petition. So we get it all ready to go, and we don't have to include that, and we get it off to them a week earlier than we thought. And so we sent it on a Thursday. They got it on a Friday, and they docketed it on a Monday.
Are you serious? That quickly?
Yeah, that quick. Yeah,
wow, this clerk must really like you or thought something of this case that you're presenting that quickly.
The clerk of the court actually consults with the justices. I mean, they don't just willy-nilly do stuff. And the clerk rejects a lot of cases. So I don't think he characterized it as a national emergency without consulting some of the justices, or at least one. So he did that. And then they, once they docketed it, it's interesting to note that they received it on the 24th, but if you'll go to supremecourt.gov, and if people do that, don't do a search for 22-380 in the first search box, go to the second one down below where it won't show up. But if you look at the date stamped on the petition, which we have identical copies for people, if they want to go to 7discoveries.com, they can get those. If you look at the dates, it shows that they received it on the 24th, and then another stamp shows that it was filed on the 20th. So they filed it the day that it was mailed. That's standard procedure, I'm pretty sure. And then they also noticed the attorneys. They notified the U.S. attorneys that they had until November 23rd to oppose it. They have one chance to file one opposition until if they don't do it by the 23rd, then they lose their right to do that, and then it goes into conference without their opposition. And so, and then also my brother was sent some documents.
What does that mean if it goes into conference without opposition? That means there's no, the other
then
side.
That means they see that the plaintiffs failed to supply an opposition. It doesn't mean that, and so then if they're not opposing it, I would think that if not opposing it, it looks more positive to go ahead and let this move forward.
That's what I would think.
So what happens in conference is the nine justices vote. All nine justices vote. And if four of the justices vote for it to move forward into a full hearing, and a hearing means where they have representatives from both sides, they hear from both sides in person. That's why it's called a hearing. Conference is where we're not allowed in. The nine justices vote on that. And so then my brother was instructed by the clerk's office to send the U.S. attorneys a form to sign waiving their right to oppose it before conference, and this would speed things up. So they didn't do that, and the days go by, and finally, over 30 days later, November 23rd, the deadline is just a few hours away, and we check the docket, nothing's there. In the morning, we check it in the afternoon, like about 1 o'clock, and we see that the U.S. attorneys are no longer representing the 388 defendants. We see that the United States Solicitor General has taken over the representation of the defendants, and she signs and files a waiver waiving their right to extend for time to oppose it and waiving their right to file an opposition to it before it goes into conference.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code Amber May, and save some money. Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber May's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, the sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows, and you get the MyPillow mattress topper. And then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow and they're phenomenal. And right now there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber May does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because my pillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And so we were pretty excited and pleased about that. And
why
then a few days.
Did that? What do you think? Your own opinion,
I want to be positive about this. If you go and read the petition and if you read the complaint, it is an expose on the importance of the Constitution and the power of the oath of office. And so I'm hoping that she read through that and that she realized how powerful her position is, how powerful the Constitution is, and how binding the oath is supposed to be to support, uphold it, and defend it. And so I'm just assuming she knew that it's not. See, this lawsuit is not about it's not about the outcome. It's not about the evidence, enough evidence to change the outcome. It's about the failure to investigate the evidence. And that's a big one. That's a big problem there. You know, if you go to a police department and you ask them to investigate a crime that you say you believe was committed and they don't do it, they can become criminally liable for not doing that. So with 100 witnesses, members of Congress, pleading with the other members of Congress to take a simple 10-day pause to investigate, and they don't do it, that's very problematic, and there could be criminal implications with them not doing it. But at least they violated their oath of office to support, to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And this is evidence of domestic enemies. Can you imagine being on a yacht or a ship or something, and your watchman comes to you and says, hey, there's a little tip of an iceberg sticking up, but it looks pretty small. Let's not worry about it. And so the captain of the ship doesn't worry about it. I mean, you've got to check it out, because we know what's underneath the tip of an iceberg. And they failed to do that. So they need to be removed from office. That's what we're asking the court to do, and bar them from holding public office the rest of their lives, not merely as a punishment, but to protect the security of this country and its states and its cities and citizens. And so another thing about an emergency, we've done some research on this. Another thing about an emergency petition for writ of certiorari, which this really has been categorized as, is the justices have full power to go right into the complaint and completely judge and execute the full complaint without any kind of a hearing. They have the power to do that if it's a time of extreme emergency. Okay, so they have all the power the lower courts have, plus much more. So if they feel it's necessary to remove a sitting president and vice president and 385 members of Congress, they can have those credentials canceled with a court order immediately and have the Congress take over how it's supposed to take over. And the states, of course, replace who they need to replace, and so on and so forth.
That would be a miracle. Like, yeah. I've never heard of that before. I've never seen that before. I would welcome it. I think most Americans would welcome it. I mean, the mess that we're in, they're not even protecting us as citizens with the border. They're not protecting the children from sex trafficking. I mean, the list goes on and on the things that they are not doing to protect the United States of America and the violations of oath of office. When you see Twitter colluding with government to suppress your right to free speech, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So I am like all for it. Get rid of all of them. Merry Christmas to the United States of America to me. Like, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I bet people listening are like, that could never happen. Or maybe they're afraid, if it did, what does that mean? How do we function as government? But here's what I want to throw out. We'll sure. still function just fine, because really the states, every state will be functioning just fine. Who cares if we have no Congress for a few weeks? Or exactly. a month or however, because it's not like it's going to stop anything going on. Really, the most power comes from the local level at the state level, not the federal government. And it's gotten twisted over the years to where we think the federal government has all the supreme power, which really, if you read the documents, the constitutions, the power really relies in the states. The states made the federal government. The federal government did not make the states. And so if people are afraid, like, oh, my, what are we going to do without no Congress for a few weeks? Nothing. We'll be fine. It's going to be great. Enjoy your little vacation from bad politics. I mean, yeah.
And then there would be a flood of campaigns. There's a ton of campaign money out there to support this, because the people that have run against these positions before would be engaging and support this because they want to take the place of these representatives. But another thing that the court can do with this case is strip immunity. Article 6 of the Constitution is very clear when it states that our federal and state representatives and even local representatives shall be bound by this Constitution. Those are the words, shall be bound. Well, our Congress over many years have given themselves immunity. That's a violation of Article 6 of the Constitution. So we're challenging the constitutionality of their immunity and sending people when they want to petition the government for redress of grievances, they're sent to a special claims court, and that's wrong. We bypassed that, went through the federal court. So this would open up a floodgate of opportunity for lawyers and law firms to offer services and holding our representatives accountable civilly. And so that would put the fire under their feet to do things right, to follow the Constitution. And, there are a lot of people that would run for office that have been pushed out and don't want a part of the corruption. So with a binding oath is what this case would do, would provide an opportunity for honest, the heroes of this country that have been pushed out of the political process would then come in. Heroes that are not afraid of being accountable to a binding oath to the Constitution. The kinds of people that go into the military and choose to lay down their lives if necessary for our freedoms and liberties. So it could change the climate completely of the kinds of politicians that go in and the kind that serve us after that. So like you said, it could be a smooth transition. Also with the media, there could be a smooth transition too. A lot of people don't realize that the federal communications directors, three of them are taking oath of the Constitution. Hmm. They swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, so they cannot allow anything through their broadcast stations to be broadcast that demeans the Constitution, that promotes concepts that are in direct conflict with the Constitution. They have an obligation to protect the Constitution with their oaths through the media. So there are military teams, broadcast teams, that could easily go in, just like a bankruptcy receivership, where they could go in and temporarily replace the faces that you see in front of the cameras, and it maybe it'd be a 15-minute commercial, long, extra long commercial. All of a sudden, the TV, the new faces appear, and then they start explaining what's going on, so people don't, hear false news and fake news, inciting riots and inciting violence. That hear the real news, and that is that everyone is going to should appreciate. And we'll have an opportunity to have much more honest representatives. I have friends that are Democrats and Republicans, and they both want the same thing. They want honest representation. And that's what this case could do, is ensure honesty. And because of their immunity, they've been getting away with not being so honest.
100%. It's good for me, but not for thee. And they haven't ever felt the consequences of taking that oath of office. They take the oath and then they trash the oath that they took. And there's been no consequences. So I would really love to see this. I would love to see the justices vote yes on this, because I would love to be have these people held accountable for all the sins that they've committed against the American people. They've slowly destroyed the Constitution, and COVID was a big escalation of that, where they suppressed our right to speak, our freedom of speech. And you said something about the media. They are just as responsible, because they have been putting out propaganda lies about COVID or the election or you name it, lies to manipulate the way that people think. And then other people like me or like Mike Lindell or like Donald Trump been silenced from them. So we haven't had free speech in the media. I went to journalism school, and during the time in journalism school, we talked about propaganda. We talked about yellow journalism and about all the other countries that use that against their people. And I was thinking there as a student, I was like, thank God we have freedom of the press in the United States. And now I'm looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, we do not. For one, the latest thing that's coming out is the CBDC. And there's a thing called Walletmore. And if you start looking on YouTube for Walletmore and you look for the news segments, there's a whole bunch of news broadcasts across the country talking about Walletmore. And they have a similar vibe to it, a similar way of they're bringing this out, which is digital currency under the skin. It's like, on this alternative media, we all have different stories. And yes, it all kind of furthers the agenda of freedom of speech and getting people really aware. But when you look at the mainstream corporate media across the nation, it's one narrative. And that's the only narrative you're ever going to get. You're never going to hear about CBDC. You're never going to have the truth about COVID. Never have the truth about election fraud. Never the truth about what's happening at the border. Never the truth about child trafficking. I mean, you'll never hear this stuff unless you go to the alt media. And so I love that this part of your lawsuit has to deal with, or could potentially deal with,
media. They have the power. I was kind of surprised that President Trump didn't do something with the directors of the Federal Communication Commission. And you're right. The media is like the fourth branch of government. Every army in every country has a psyops division, psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, is what's happening here in America. And so that could be fixed quickly, too, and would need to be fixed quickly so that we can have peace. We don't want media broadcasting lies and saying we've lost our democracy, we've lost our freedom, go out and do stuff. You know, no, we don't want that.
No,
we want so the special teams could go in and fix that and start broadcasting news in real time that people could see was true with their own eyes. Mm-hmm. And they could see that we're free, and everything would just start getting better and better and better.
What I love about you and your brothers are you are regular people. And it was a regular person that decided, hey, I'm going to look at how to deal with law stuff, right? So tell me the story about how your brother, the one who knows the legal stuff, tell me about that.
Well, he felt like he couldn't trust attorneys, and he felt like they were in a system that might have too much influence on them, or they would follow their cultural kind of rules. And so he took a course, and the course showed him that if you really follow the rules of civil procedure in state and federal courts, you will be following the rules better than the attorneys are following them, because they have their own kind of systems that they accept with each other. And so I've seen this too, where he's been able to go into court and file pleadings that the attorneys just didn't know how to respond to, even though they were strictly their rules in their courts. Okay. So he had been doing this for years because he was upset with the real estate subprime mortgage bundling that affected his properties, and he felt like he knew it was wrong, and he just got into it. He's always had a passion for the law, but he really got into this representing himself, and he had some success, you know, in state and federal court and U.S. Supreme Court, two petitions. And so he approached me. It's like we and my brother, and it's like we felt like we needed to be a team, and not just him, but a team, so that we could really pull our resources together and our skill sets together and kind of divide the responsibility so that we could really work as a team synergizing mechanism, right? And so I was the plaintiff on the first complaint That was in federal court, and they blocked us. They actually filed, the U.S. Marshals served it, and then they called it back. And so we fought and we perfected it. And so Roland, he came up with the idea. It's like, let's get another one going. So he got his going. So it's like, now we have two. One of these is going to reach the Supreme Court quicker than the other. Mine was pretty interesting. I actually sued the two federal courts. The federal court of Utah unfiled my case. A judge can't unfile a case. It's not right, even before the defendants are served. And so he actually ordered the U.S. Marshal Service, the clerk did of the court, ordered the U.S. Marshal Service to serve my summons and complaint. And according to the docket, they served Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, and about 70 others, U.S. Marshal Service. We couldn't do it any other way because they were locked down from COVID. So that the court was doing it for us, right?
Okay.
And so, and then he called it back and called my complaint deficient. And then
he called it back after he already ordered them to be served. Do you think there's something fishy behind that?
Yeah. The clerk ordered it, and there might have been, I don't know, maybe there was a phone call or something. But what he did was extremely unconstitutional, violating my due process rights, big time. So we complained to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals with what you call a petition for writ of mandamus. That didn't help. So we took both courts. We took the Federal Court of Utah and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals to state court. And after we battled there, we lost. But then we won because after it was over, the federal court did what we wanted them to do, asked them to do. And that was, they not only allowed me to file my case after they had blocked it, but they filed it for me. And then they ordered the clerk of the court to issue 388 summonses. And that's still alive. That has not been dismissed. That's still alive in federal court. Okay. So we have two cases going right now.
What are the implications if they both move forward? What if they both make it to the Supreme Court?
Well, if the first, the one that's at the Supreme Court right now, if it's completely adjudicated, then what I'm asking for is the same that my brother is asking for. So parts of mine we wouldn't need, but there are elements to it that we could move forward and we would use the Supreme Court decision so that we wouldn't have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. We could probably just battle it out in federal court, mine, and get remedies that we're asking for in that. So.
Wow. Okay. So when is the Supreme Court supposed to come together and
the conference when the Supreme Court justices, all nine of them, go into a conference? They've been issued the petitions for review. So they've already been ordered to review the petitions. So the Supreme Court justices have been reviewing the petitions now for, I don't know, a couple of weeks or so. And then the court has set January 6th, 2023 as the conference date, January 6th.
What?
Yeah, we were pretty surprised when we saw
that. Did they know that they did it on that day? I mean, that's insane. They picked January.
Well, of course they would know. They would have to know.
No, yeah. You know what I mean? But like, was it on purpose? Like, that's crazy.
Well, think about it.
Did they do it on purpose, January 6th?
Well, like, I don't think you could not do it on purpose, okay? Because they would have to be clueless as to January 6th. I don't think it's done by computers. This is the 2-year anniversary of why we're suing, right? So to me, it's like a positive message to the American people, to us, we the people, that we've got your back, and we're gonna save this republic, and we're gonna save the Constitution. It's almost like a flag waving in the air, January 6th. So if not, we're going to keep fighting this. Even if they don't let it go through conference, we have a backup plan. We'll file a motion for reconsideration. Now, what you're doing is really important here, because people need to know about this and understand it so that they can see what's happening when it happens. But they can also write friends of the court letters. That's totally acceptable by the court.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, you can't protest in front of a judge's house, but you can write letters as a friend of the court, positive letters, you know, asking them that why you feel like they should let this move forward, or that they should execute it, and personal reasons. So there are some campaigns out there. If you go to 7discoveries.com, I think we have some information there where if people want to see kind of a format or see instructions on how to do that. There's some campaigns where you send one to the court, a letter to the court, and a letter to the Brunson brothers with a little donation in it. I'll post that. I'll send you a link too that you can post if you'd like to do that. So
I would love to do that. If we can help your court case, because you're actually helping the United States, you're helping every citizen right now. I mean, this This would be like a Red Sea moment if this really happens the way you're describing it would happen, where they yes. would fire Congress. They would, or most of Congress. I mean, the ones who wanted to move forward the 10-day, I think their jobs would be secure or safe, right?
Like, they're not defendants, but everyone that voted against it would. And there, like I said, there's so many people that would love to replace these people. It's sort of like a term limits kind of action. And I don't even like to use the word fire, replace, with people that are more suited and qualified, that don't have a record of participating in such a huge national security breach. Now, remember, I've never seen so many members of Congress from both sides of the aisle hold up the Constitution and talk about how important their oath to the Constitution was. Mm-hmm. So they shouldn't have any problem with this decision. I would think that they would say, oh, you're right. And maybe some of them should even resign right now. Sign an amicus brief. If they know about it, they should say, you know what? This case is right. The petitioner is right. We blew it. And we're going to support this with a patriotic move of resigning, and then hope that the court has more mercy on us and our position. They should get in the fight. But I don't even know if too many of them know about this. So
walk me through your God moments that you feel like God's hand was on this case with you guys. Walk me through some.
Constantly. What would happen is we would get discouraged and feel like quitting. And then we're just very prayerful and searching and working. And we found that God can solve problems with an idea, just a thought. And then you go after that. You work hard, you get that door opened. And that's what we've been going through. So many hurdles, so many doors slammed in our faces, our whole lives. We feel like all of our lives, that our trumpet playing days, that everything has led to this point where we're all, the three of us, and even the fourth brother, having to do with the music part of it, really, it seems like everything has just led to this point. So many miracles, so many things happening so that we can do this now and get this done. So, you know, I probably ought to write down all the incredible things, miracles yes. that have happened that we just thought, like the clerk of the court accepting that as a national emergency, finding Rule 11 when we didn't think there was any way we could get past the 10th Circuit sitting on it, getting two federal courts, taken two federal courts to state court, and then the federal court actually filing my complaint when they refused to and even fought against it in state court. So there's so many absolute miracles that have happened, and we feel people's prayers too. People will call me from a phone number on the website, and I try to answer everyone that I can answer, and people will just say the most incredible prayers you've ever heard over the phone, and saying they're writing a letter to the Supreme Court. And the feeling of peace and comfort and strength is just amazing. We feel your prayers out there. We really do. And we really believe that the Lord is hearing the prayers, and he's going to show his arm in some way. We don't know how. I remember the story of Moses. Everyone thought they were going to be released with the first plague, right?
Right.
I don't know what's happening, but I could see a very smooth transition. And then a lot of people say, this is impossible. It can never happen. And it's like I say to them, well, do you believe in miracles? If they say no, and I say, well, if it's going to happen, are you going to start believing in miracles? You say it's impossible. So anyway, so it's a really positive, exciting thing. And it's great to be on your show. And what you're doing is really frontline stuff. We need to let people know about it and feel like they're engaged. And the letters going to the Supreme Court, I think, will be actually filed. So you'd be a part of history. Every letter that goes there, there would be a permanent record, and maybe someday there will be a monument with, like, you know, 70 million names of people that sent letters into the Supreme Court. It's kind of a Declaration of Independence Day in a way, or movement, I should say.
I hope the judges will vote for this, because I think they've been under attack. You just said in just a little bit ago, you can't go and petition in front of their homes. Well, that happened with Roe v. Wade, and their lives were threatened. That is a constitutional crisis if I've ever heard of it, because now you're threatening the people who are supposed to give justice, and they're human yeah. beings. You don't think that's going to scare them into making a bad decision? And what if that bad decision affected you personally? So exactly. The fact that they are getting threatened is a constitutional crisis. So I hope that they will really look at this.
Well, I think that helps this case. I think that really helps this case. Now, there have been other outcome-related cases in front of the Supreme Court, and six of the justices voted in favor of them. And the three of the justices that voted in favor were Alito and Roberts and Thomas. Okay. So I can't see them voting against this. They've already voted in a much more controversial, in much more controversial cases. This is simply the oath of office, and it doesn't say that the election, you know, was rigged. It doesn't say that there was enough evidence. It doesn't say someone should be in office. It simply says it was a breach, and that the ones responsible need to be removed, and that we need to remove immunity. Now, the three justices that voted against those cases were Trump-appointed justices. And I think they did it because they felt like they had to. Otherwise, the court would just be so discredited because they were appointed by Trump. And those cases were about Trump. But now that they've been threatened, Kavanaugh, been threatened by Chuck Schumer and Gorsuch, we're coming after you, those kinds of things. I think that not only could we have all six in favor of this, but the other three justices would have to say, we have to vote in favor of this because this is nothing more than the Constitution and enforcing the oath of office and a security breach that could have happened on either side.
Yes.
And so to me, voting against this would actually be a huge mistake for the career as well, because they would be voting against the Constitution without the Constitution being interpreted or defined. They're voting against it. So I think it's very possible, with the Lord's help and the prayers coming up to heaven, that we could see something very positive happen from this within the next couple of weeks or so.
I would love a Red Sea moment. And the thing about your court case is it doesn't put the Trump appointed judges in a corner, because this isn't about Trump. This is about the oath of office.
Right. Correct.
Do you feel like our justice system's been captured by your experience that you've had going through courts for the last 2 years?
Well, I don't think we would have started this lawsuit if we hadn't felt like the justices were in place that needed to be in place. That's another huge miracle, to have the justices that we have. Look, the six of them voted against Roe versus Wade. Can you imagine that? We've had a Supreme Court that's actually in the past, without these justices, rule that babies, children in the womb, are not human beings. It's just unbelievable. And then we have a justice now that can't define a woman. And it's like, well, wait a second. You've been nominated by a president based on you being a woman, and you can't say whether you are or not. I mean, if you can't define you're a woman, then why are you allowing yourself to accept this nomination? You should have said, she should have said to President Biden, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't been able to figure out what a definition of a woman is, and therefore I can't figure out if I'm a woman, so I'm going to have to pass on this offer. Mm-hmm. So it's proof that she was just flat out deceitful. We can't have deceitful justices. So she could make up for this by voting in favor of this petition. If she did that, I think it would be the right thing for her to do, and it would benefit her, and it'd benefit the whole country. And it would show more unity. It would prevent more division if all nine justices voted in favor of this. And they have in cases voted, 9-0 on some cases. So they have the ability to do that. The U.S. Solicitor General actually represented the government where they voted against her 9-0. And so she's a pretty independent, spirited woman. And she flipped from the position the government wanted her to take in front of the justices without consulting anyone. She, on her own, she's a pretty independent person to be able to do that, and was defeated 9-0 by the justices. So we have a very interesting situation here. Elizabeth Preloader, who's the Solicitor General, waiving her defendant's right to oppose this or fight it before it goes into conference. So this is an extremely unusual case. I was on a show at Tanya out of Chicago. She has this show, and she had an attorney on with me. Do you know Tanya?
Yes, she's
a great show.
Yeah.
Man, if you don't know about her, check her out. She has a great podcast there. And so the attorney, great. His name is Paul, and I'm going to do an interview with him. And so I said, it'd be nice to know how many Rule 11 Supreme Court petitions have successfully been docketed. And so he did a search. He says the last one before the Brunson's case. Of course, ours wasn't docketed as a Rule 11. It was accepted as a Rule 11. We didn't need to do it that way. But it was still a Rule 11 emergency case. So the last one docketed was in the 70s, having to do with the Nixon administration. And it was filed by the U.S. government. And there was one other one that he saw. So no one out of those two could we find any other Rule 11 emergency petition docketed at the Supreme Court. So this is an extremely rare. It's not just another case that's going to be tossed or another petition that's going to be tossed. No, this is extremely rare. You know, there might be only two. There might not even be an attorney alive today that has. Well, it would be the Nixon case, but I'm sure there isn't any attorney that has ever successfully filed a Rule 11 petition with the Supreme Court representing, other than the government, a petitioner or a plaintiff.
Wow.
So this is extremely rare. So that's another miracle. There are a lot of miracles leading up to this, and there are a lot of incredible, unexplained things that are happening with this. This is not just another case to be tossed. Like some people, people have said, you know, they kind of thought it was ridiculous, but then they get into it and they go, wait a minute. There's some very interesting facets, and it's so many different things about this that make it unique and powerful.
I just know that you've given me hope in Arizona, because we have gone to court cases after court cases after court cases. Our elections are still broken. It makes you get disappointed and like, why should I even vote when it doesn't even matter? So I keep fighting. You know, God does bring me up again and walks me through the things that, you know, he has brought me through, and it does regenerate your hope, but we're only human. But I will say your case really brought a lot of hope. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us and fighting for America when you didn't have to. You and your brothers did not have to do it. You could have still gone and played your trumpets, who knows where, everywhere. But no, you guys decided to do something. For the last 2 years, you dedicated your life to trying to help save the United States of America. So thank you so much to you and your brothers.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. It's been great.
I really appreciate it.
My brothers appreciate you too. Thank you.
Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. No, you didn't hear me. Trump shall become a trumpet. Are you listening to me? I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet. Do you hear the sound of the trumpet? I said, do you hear the sound of the trumpet? God says, do you hear the sound of the trumpet? Do you hear the sound of the victory? Do you hear the sound of the trumpet that blows in Zion? Do you hear the sound of the trumpet that shall blow in the Middle East? Hear the word of the Lord today. The trumpet of God is sounding throughout the earth. They have tried to silence the voice of God and the voice of the prophets, but the sound of the trumpet shall be heard. Lord, the betrayal that has been so evident in the White House, bring that to an end. I see a president that shall come. And this is not to speak bad about this one. There is a president who will come. And God says he will have absolutely no fear. Absolutely no fear. Will be decisive, make decisions. And then in the middle of the restoration of America, rapidly, because of a source of energy that shall come quickly, and because of medical breakthroughs, and because of agreements between nations, specifically China, God said they shall say, we never dreamed this would happen. But God says, listen to me, cartel shall be afraid of a woman anointed by God, a woman set aside. And God says they will say, we hated her, but now we love her, for she shall take the oil of healing and she shall pour it upon the scars of those left and those right, and of the new party,
that has come forth and emerged, where they shall say Christ will reign, and this we shall not implement at all socialism, where we will, where they have said we will make history without God. No, you will not. No, you will not, says the Lord. For I chose this nation before it was founded. Before anybody came here, I chose this entire nation, all 50 states, every one of them, to send my gospel to the entire earth. Do you think I have changed my mind? Therefore, the healing that is necessary for this nation shall come at a time in the middle of the presidency. There shall be a woman that shall come. And God said there shall be oil that shall be poured upon the nation. And they shall suddenly feel the healing. And they shall say, it is well with my soul. It is well with our soul. For the soul of America has been corrupted. The soul of this nation has been corrupted with bitterness and anger. And God said she shall say, no more bitterness, no more anger, no more division, and shall pour the oil that shall come from the Spirit of the Lord himself. If you as a nation believe it, if you want this, lift your voice and shout one more time and say yes. The Spirit of God says one more thing I want to talk to you about. That little dwarf in North Korea, I'm getting a little tired of him. I think I'm going to go and pay him a visit, says the Lord. You watch and see what I do.
Come on.
And that will be a big sign that the man that I'm sending with a stone for the giant is emerging, says the Lord.
I heard the Lord speak these words, keep striking the ground. And if you remember the story, this was the very last thing in the prophet Elijah's life. Right before he died, he was with the king. And the king said, what should we do to gain victory over the battle? And Elijah said, take your arrow out and strike the ground. You guys remember the story? He struck the ground 3 times, and Elijah looked at him and he said, why did you stop? You should have kept going, but because you're only struck the ground 3 times, you're only gonna get a limited victory. And I believe a big reason why we're doing this, these gatherings, the worship gathering I just came from in Virginia, the one that I came from before that in Phoenix, because we have to keep striking the ground. And it's time for Christians to stop worrying what you look like. The left does all the weirdest things. And we look at them and you're like, well, yeah, they're crazy. Well, we're crazier. We love Jesus. We take cities over for Jesus. I mean, you should have seen DC. We were in front of the White House praying with 1,000 people. We're at the Supreme Court praying like we take the whole city over. And so I want to do something tonight, as the election is just days away. I want to believe that we're here to strike the ground in the state of Missouri, in the heart of the nation, and we need to keep striking. So I believe we are going to see a massive victory that only the Lord can take credit for. On the count of three, we're going to strike. On the count of three, we're going to lift up a shout. And listen, this is not a rah-rah moment. I believe this is a prophetic moment. Listen, we marched around the Supreme Court 40 days after the Dobbs decision was leaked. And we prayed that that decision would be bound together by the Supreme Court justices. And you know what? We got a victory. How many believe we're going to have a victory on Tuesday? So come on, let's give a victory shout. Let's strike the ground and let's give a victory shout on the count of three. Are you ready? So here we go. Get your arrows out and just go strike. 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 Come on, keep going. Strike. Come on. Strike. Come on, strike the ground. Strike. Strike. Come on. Come on. Strike. 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 Come on. Come on, say strike. 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 Come on, a few more times. A few more times. Come on. Strike. 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 Okay, on the count of three, we're gonna lift up a shout. Here we go. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Lift up a shout.
climate-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim T. Walt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim T. Walt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
The information provided in this commentary is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. It should be considered a solicitation to buy or an offer or sell a security. It does not take into account any investor's particular investment objectives, strategies, tax status, or investment horizons. You should contact your attorney or tax advisor. The views expressed in this commentary are subject to change based on market and other conditions. This commentary may contain certain statements that may be deemed forward-looking statements. Please note that any such statements are not guaranteed of any future performance or actual results, or development may differ materially from those projected.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. And I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some of that. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout.